Swamiji, I was just wondering about escaping from facing yourself. Is it possible?
I was. That's a question which I must ask. People use that expression, escaping from oneself. Is that possible? What are we talking about? The same, I have that, it's not a semantic problem. Semantically one can rationalize it. But in fact, is it possible for us to divide ourselves into these two? I have the same problem with other expressions, like I hate myself, I love myself, I am afraid of myself. What does it mean? I pity myself. We often hear this, yes? I pity myself. What do you mean by I pity myself? Which one is you? This is my problem. The words I can understand. Now, for instance, as I speak, I also hear. I hear myself. But the one that says something is not saying something which I do not know. This is a very simple way of approaching it. For instance, if you say something, you are saying something which I do not know. So there is a dichotomy here, very clearly observable dichotomy. But when I say I hear myself, this is a simple physiological phenomenon. The sound that comes out of my mouth also enter my own eardrums, ears, and I hear them. But there is absolutely no discrepancy between the two. They are identical. It's like two hands rubbing each other. They are both same, identical. There's nothing. They don't belong to two different personalities. But when one uses the expression, I pity myself, there is a difficulty there. He is a healthy man, he can look at me and say, I pity the Swami. They are two different people. He is healthy, I am not healthy. He is young, I am old. I pity him. Or a man is rich and he looks at a poor man and he says, oh, I pity. Or you may be very saintly and you look at someone else. You say, oh, I pity that man. They are two different things. Two different objects, two different characteristics. But when you say, I pity myself, the pitier is on a pedestal and the pitied one is down below. So you have created these two images. One, the pitier, who is high up, and the other that is pitied. He is poor, he is down, he is hopeless. Now, when these two images have been created, my question is, which one is you? So, I pity myself may be even an arrogant expression. I am the one that is up on the pedestal, I pity myself. Oh, I'm so great. What do we mean by that? Is it possible for the personality to be split like that? A drunkard can imagine. Yeah? I've even heard of that, even in India, in South India. It seems a man was under the influence. And he was looking at his own leg and said, don't go! I tell you, don't move! Otherwise, he'll hit you, hit! He started hitting his own foot. He had a broken leg. I suppose later on he realized that it was his own foot. When we talk of I control myself, I pity myself, I am angry with myself, I am cross with myself. When we use such expressions, I feel, I don't know how far I am right, that there is a tremendous lot of hypocrisy in it. I fight with you or quarrel with you. I insult you, abuse you. And someone sees me do this. She says, Swami, I am shocked. Right? Now I have to escape. I have to escape from her criticism. How do I do that? Oh, you know, I am terribly sorry for myself. I am angry with myself. I hate myself for doing this. Now I have lifted my image in her eyes. I have made her realize, feel, now that Swami is not so bad after all. Look how he's such a marvelous person. Oh, this is just a mistake. I could have said that. It is just a mistake, don't worry. I'll be all right. But by saying I pity myself, I hate myself, I am angry with myself, I have created an image in her that I am such an exalted person. But that something got hold of me. Some devil entered into me. And that is what made me insult you. That having this exalted soul, having realized it, despises it, pushes it away. He is so righteous, so holy, such a marvelous person. That is the impression I want to create in her. Is there anything else? Is it possible at all to run away from oneself? You can imagine, you can think.
People have tricks that they, you know, they have tricks to escape.
Do they escape is what I want to know. They want to escape. But what wants to escape what? Not even who. What is it that wants to escape from what?
Maybe that loneliness.
No, you don't have to escape from loneliness. You try to escape from loneliness or walk into company?
Well, I wouldn't maybe walk into company.
Right.
First off, before I got that unpleasant feeling that...
Ah, right. Thank you. That's what he want. That's what he was waiting for. There is an unpleasant feeling. Correct? Right. And you want to escape from unpleasantness. That's all. Not from yourself. You want to escape from unpleasantness. The unpleasantness of being alone or lonely. Good. Get on with the job. Good. But I am not running away from myself. I am carrying this myself all the time with me. I have no choice.
Then you can't, you know, you read sometimes by other people that you can penetrate these states. And I mean...
You can, all right, you can. You can penetrate these states of mind. Just as I am hearing my own voice, you can penetrate these states of mind. The whole thing is you. You cannot escape from it. You cannot run away from it. It's you. I can hear my voice, but it is me. I am talking and I am hearing. Quiet. I feel bored, I feel lonely, I want company. And I am not running away from anything at all. Running away from that room, not from myself. You hate unpleasantness and you want something, some pleasure. Go ahead, find it. It is the mind that moves, which means you are imagining that you are moving away from something into something else. We even use expressions like moving away from the center. That means the attention, instead of flowing inward, flows outward. That's all. That's the only thing you can do. Running away from oneself means just this. The attention, instead of flowing towards one's own center, tries to stray into some sort of objects, any object. During that period, I'm going to use another funny expression. You forget yourself, which merely means you are in a state of sleep. In a state of sleep, we forget ourselves. I have not forgotten myself. That's merely an expression without much meaning. There are probably not very many alternative expressions which could express the same fact. So, when I am distracted, I forget myself. Or I move away from the center. Now, these two can be together, can be separate. For instance, when I am bored with life, or when I feel lonely, and therefore I am not happy, I seek company, I seek diversion. I want to forget myself. In that sense, that is, I want to go to sleep. I don't want to be aware of what goes on within me. I don't want to be aware of what goes on within me. I don't want to listen to my own voice. In other words. And at the same time, I am seeking diversion, which means I am seeking a movement away from the center. This is one form of diversion or self-forgetfulness where there is movement away from the center. There is the other form of self-forgetfulness which is marvelous. When you go right down to the core of your center, you have pierced the thing called self and entered into yourself. There you are completely centered but self-forgetful. Awareness is like space. In that, there is what is called self or ego or whatever you used to call it, like a wall. Awareness. Now, this wall seems to divide space into this room and outside. It doesn't really, but seems to. In the same way, it is this ego or the self, which acts like a wall, seems to divide awareness or consciousness into within and without, internal and external. Otherwise, this words internal, external have no meaning. What is internal? Internal to what? External to what? There is no meaning. There is only consciousness. When the self arises in it, it seems to divide that consciousness into something that is internal, something that is external. It is the self that operates. Bored and lonely, experiencing unhappiness, unpleasantness, it wants to divert itself, run away. That's what you're saying, run away from itself. It doesn't run. It merely projects its awareness externally. It doesn't run anywhere. The self cannot go. It merely projects its awareness towards an external object and touches it, which means experiences it. You may go to a movie and sit and watch the show, you may go to a concert and sit and listen to the music, or you may play with your friend. In all this, there is some kind of external contact. The self projects its awareness or attention to the so that it plays with that object. For the time being, it has forgotten itself. For the time being, it is in a state of sleep. Which is the only reason why you are happy in the diversion. You are happy when you are asleep. Correct? And so, when you divert yourself in this manner, you are happy only because the self is in a state of sleep. Not because the movie is beautiful, not because the music is beautiful, not because the friend is very loving. It's all humbug, absurd. Only because the self is in a state of sleep.
You're saying that when the self's awake, it's a miserable life.
All right. wait. So, there seems to be some sort of happiness. But there is movement of thought away from, movement of awareness away from the self. The self doesn't go anywhere. But then, none of these things lasts forever. The movie doesn't last forever. As a matter of fact, I think this is true of all theatres. I am particularly conscious of the drive-ins here. You go there and you sit and watch the show. It's beautiful, beautiful, lovely. You enjoy for about an hour or hour and a half. But by the time you come out of the theatre onto the main road, all your joy is gone. Honking here, honking there, honking here. It's pandemonium. Right. The same thing happens in theatres. You spent 3 hours there or 2 hours there, and if there had been some accident to the projector, and if the show had extended for another half an hour, you'd still have been sitting there. But watch yourself. The show is finished, and then there is a mad rush to get out. I never understood what for. What about spending another 5 minutes to go slowly? So all that is lost. Which means, to begin with, you are bored or you are unhappy, and so you projected your awareness to something. And because the self went to sleep, During that projection, there is happiness. The happiness of sleep, nothing more. But that thing doesn't last forever. Or sometimes that thing also throws your attention back to yourself. Loneliness hurts, and so you go and seek somebody's company. That somebody might be pleasant for a few minutes, and then he also tricks you. He hurts you. And immediately the self wakes up. And immediately the self wakes up, there is unhappiness. Is that correct? And even if this is an extraordinarily beautiful relationship, you know, we are always happy in each other's company, it's got to come to an end. When that comes to an end, the self wakes up again. And there is misery. Till it learns that there is another dimension, another direction in which the awareness could be made to flow, and that is within. Then there is self-transcendence, because once again the wall is there and there is movement here. The self is left behind. In other words, awareness seems to pierce the self and go beyond it. But here, there is movement of awareness towards the center, and therefore there is no movement away from the center. The self is asleep again, because it is left behind. The awareness flows towards the center. So while the self is asleep, there is centering of consciousness. This could last forever if you want to, because it's yourself. There is nothing to gain, nothing to lose, nothing was gained, and therefore there is no loss.
So the self, as you're calling it, is the ego, the thoughts, or whatever it is that we think we are most of the time.
It's rubbish.
Is that right? It might be rubbish, but in fact, the only way to be happy with it mainly is to, in fact, divert away from it, right? To move out from it.
To move out from?
To move out from.
To move in from the self. Not
what?
That's it. That's what is called meditation. That is what is called meditation. Movement towards the center. So,
by paying attention to what's happening at that point. So, if it's
exactly,
more loneliness,
exactly,
diverting it, you.
I'm not lonely at all, I'm alone. Yes, but I'm not lonely. Because loneliness is already a projection of the self. A little more attention. Loneliness is already a projection of the self. How? This self, this wall, creates the image of an ideal condition, which it calls happiness. No one has so far really defined what happiness is, and even if somebody has tried to define, that definition is not accepted by everybody, which means happiness is a myth created by the self in order to make itself miserable, in other words. The self, not knowing what to do, it has got to do something, it has got to think something. So it creates an image called happiness. And the follow-on of that is, since I do not have this, I must be unhappy. I have an image of happiness, and since I do not measure up to that, or I do not have that which constitutes happiness, I must be unhappy. I am not unhappy. Like, for instance, I think I told you. What is it? I watched the television advertisement in Sydney. Guinness beer, is it? Huh? Try it once, try it twice. That's Guinness beer advertisement? And the skit that goes with it says that the first time you may not like the taste, and so try it again. The second time you'll love it. The first time I don't like it, huh? If I
mean, of all alcohol and all the various things, it takes you a bit, but then you, everybody enjoys it, or most people enjoy it.
That's precisely my thesis or complaint. That the mind it is that projects on, creates an image called happiness outside of itself. Outside of itself, the mind creates an image called happiness. Unless I have these things constitute happiness. That is the definition that the mind, the self has created. I don't have any of these. And therefore, I must be unhappy. Instead of trying to figure out, am I really unhappy or... Rarely, except in the case of physical pain, rarely is a person unhappy in himself. It is always by comparison. I must have this. Since I do not have this, I am unhappy. I must be like that. Since I am not like that, I am unhappy.
There's always a sneaking suspicion when that feeling comes up that other people are, but you, it's made in you.
Yeah.
Something, and that's, I suppose, it is the big discomfort. In fact, it is attainable, and it's just that you haven't caught it at that point.
So, when this thing is dropped, there's no unhappiness. I don't move anywhere. Having created this unhappiness, unhappy situation, the self tries to project itself. Trying to grasp something else. In order to fulfill this void. This loneliness. This loneliness is self-creation, self-created. It is not there. I am always lonely. Except, pardon me, when a woman is pregnant. We are all always lonely. Nobody is riding our shoulders. If you try to describe that loneliness, you will see already how it is merely an image created by the mind, by the self, which means all loneliness is pure imaginary. And the lonely person doesn't want to talk to the other fellow sitting next to him. Why are you lonely? Why don't you talk to him? No. he's not of my type. And so it is the self having created this image of happiness and comparing itself with that image and finding itself wanting, doesn't want to examine the truth that this silly thing is my own image created by me. That becomes truth, that becomes reality now. Guinness is sweet. The third glass makes it sweet, I suppose. Yeah? That's why he says try it twice. The taste has become so thoroughly perverted that whereas the first glass tasted bitter, the second glass was swallowed because the advertisement said so, the third glass becomes sweet. How does it... How did you achieve this metamorphosis? That is how it gets perverted. And now, having once got into this syndrome, you don't want to break out of it, because the self is utterly convinced that this is happiness and the absence of it is unhappiness. Now, all that the yogi asks is, stop there and look what the self is doing. When you are enjoying something, look what the self is doing. The self is fast asleep. But the moment you investigate this, the self wakes up because you are pouring awareness into it. Am I making myself understood? The awareness was distracted. The self was asleep and the awareness was flowing towards something else. And because the self was asleep, you thought there was happiness. Now, the moment you begin to examine this situation, say, nonsense, let's have a better look at this. What is the self? That moment you pour some awareness into the self, it wakes up. And naturally, there is unhappiness. Which is incidentally the reason why that when you begin to meditate, the first thing you experience is some sort of unhappiness. A reason also why when, you know, the people whom we are talking about, people who want to forget themselves and run away from themselves, you know, that sort of thing, they, when they begin to meditate without some kind of help from somebody or the other, they can go complete berserk. Because they are asked to abandon their crutches, and when this awareness is poured into the self, it's dreadful, terrible. You see the point? 2 days ago, if this happened, I would have immediately gone to a pub or to a theater. But now that I have abandoned that, I am trying to look into the self, it's terrible. But now you must observe this, the hand movement again. The awareness was flowing there. Now the awareness is becoming aware of the self, which means it is flowing towards yourself. In a manner of speaking, it's a radar phenomenon. The awareness going there, touching it and coming back towards the self. There is a movement towards the self instead of away from the self. The movement is not of the self, the movement is merely of awareness. Right? The awareness comes towards you. One can easily experience it, actually experience it. You can do it now. You are looking at me, yes? Correct?
Yes.
You are looking at me? How many noses have I got?
Just the one.
Just the one. Watch, 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 I am not joking. Watch. I have got only one nose?
Two.
Huh?
Yes.
Right. With what are you seeing me? With your eyes?
Yes.
Sure?
Yes.
Are you sure? Become aware of the eyes looking at me. How many noses do I have? Two. Three. So, when you were looking at my face, your awareness or attention was flowing towards me. And when you say, my God, with what am I looking at him? Eyes? My eyes? Or my brain? Suddenly you find the awareness leaving me and going into yourself. Correct? Right. So, halfway through, when this awareness strikes the self back again, that is withdrawn into it, that is what is called pratyahara. That is, you do not project anything anymore. Everything in the world is exactly as it is. I am not your friend, I am not your enemy. I am not a man, I am not a woman, I am not a dog, I am not a donkey, nothing. I am what I am. So far as you are concerned, this is what it is, without any description. The awareness has returned to the self. But then at that moment, this loneliness reappears. The self is awake. And the next moment, you examine this phenomenon called loneliness or unhappiness. What is this unhappiness? But by the time the awareness which returned pierces the self, because you are asking, where does this come from? That is, what is the content of the self? It's usual to say, what is the substratum for the self? But, I don't know, substratum sort of, you know, makes it a double-decker bus. What is the content of the self? What is it made of? When that question arises, the same awareness pierces the self, this wall, and goes inside. Inside what? I don't know. Inside. And there is entering. The question may or may not be answered, but it's gone. The problem is gone. The problem has been solved. This self is asleep again, but it is very much like, if you can visualize, yourself being locked up in a prison cell. And you find that the jailer, the prison warden, is fast asleep. You try the lock. It's very well locked. You look at him sleeping blissfully, but you are not blissful. You are miserable. And then, on another occasion, he is fast asleep, and you fiddle with the lock. It comes open. Then you open the door and go away. You are quite happy that that fellow is fast asleep. You are not worried at all. You are not bothered. You are in prey. may he sleep more. So, when the attention is projected outward, it's like imprisonment. The more you sleep, the longer you are imprisoned. When the attention or the awareness returns to the center, then the self goes to sleep again, you are quite happy. Let it sleep as long as it likes. You are blissful. The other things, I don't know if somebody else can offer some comment. The other things I don't understand at all. I love myself, I hate myself. To me, it sounds very hypocritical.